were just talking about it. Arena Bowl happening at American Dream. It's tomorrow, 5:30. The Albany Firebirds and the Billings Outlaws. And the commissioner of the Arena Football League is none other than Jeff Fisher, longtime NFL head coach, and he is in studio with us this morning. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, and thanks for dedicating that whole last segment to this little bowl game we got going on Friday night. I appreciate it.
We actually got the helmets in here now.
Yeah, we got the Firebirds here and the Billings Outlaws right there.
This is like a practice helmet from 1997, I was told.
they look like these are game-worn.
They stay on. They don't come out, and they protect them on the dasher boards when, you know, the guys, or when the guys go into the stands. So, yeah, it's a cool thing. I mean, these are top two seeds, and who would have thought, you know, I mean, it's been quite a journey, I'll be honest with you.
Definitely quite a journey. I was going to ask you, is it harder to coach an NFL football team or try to get a fledgling league off the ground and get interest in that league?
I've relocated two franchises in my career, you know, the Houston Titan, and then I moved the Rams.
So. Yeah, you were with you guys played in Memphis when I was still playing.
Correct.
Yes. Right. I remember we came down there and played at the Liberty Bowl, right?
The Liberty Bowl, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, and then we came back up, played at Vanderbilt in 98, and then we opened the stadium in 99. Yeah. Were you backing up Jeff in 99?
No, I was gone. 97 was my last year after Corey Dillon tore through you guys for like 250 yards on a Thursday night game.
We weren't going to talk about that. Greg Williams, are you listening?
Yeah. So he told me he took a picture of Corey Dillon after that game and put it in.
I took his picture out of the program, and I taped it on a little paperweight, and I dropped it in Greg Williams' aquarium in his office. And it just sat there. And he could look at Corey for years.
Oh, man. Greg Williams is a piece of work. We had him here at the Jets there for.
Oh, my God.
With him and Adam Gase. That was wild.
Going zero and on fourth on the last play of the game.
Yeah, against the Raiders. Right?
Yeah, on the play before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He was shiving everybody in the back over
you
here.
You didn't want to know why Sam Darnold said he was seeing ghosts. He was seeing ghosts at practice.
I'm sure.
We were talking before you came in about those Titans teams and the identity that you guys had. And I remember it was like late 90s. I was in high school. We played a brand of high school football where all we did was run the ball. And then I would watch you guys and how tough you were, Eddie George and Steve McNair. I mean, the personality of those teams, do you think, is there anybody in today's NFL that could be like those late 90s, early 2000s Titans teams?
Well, the game's changed. You know, obviously the quarterback position changed. Everything's changed about the game. I would think so. I mean, I think the closest you came to it was actually what Mike tried to do over the last couple of years there in Tennessee with the big back. You see some of that. And, you know, the teams that, you know, traditionally are in it and making those runs at the end, even in today's world, are built that way. You got to be able to run the
Kansas City and San Francisco are able to run the ball when they need to.
They can run the football.
They can run the football. Big offensive linemen, great running backs, great running schemes.
Protect your quarterbacks.
Yeah, really great. I mean, so how many people do we expect tomorrow night at 5:30 at the American Dream in Jersey? Now, listen, you're in Tennessee. I know you've been around. You know what traffic is around here?
It's a mall. There's people. There's walk-up people. There's all kinds of good stuff going on.
Yes. Hey,
this is a big thing with respect to what we had going is that I got involved. I was approached well over a year ago by a potential ownership group in Nashville. They were going to bring the Nashville Cats back. They had a great run in Nashville. While I was busy, when we were doing all our stuff, you know, I didn't know what was going on, but they were filling out Bridgestone Arena there where the Preds play to the tune of, you know, 7,000-8,000 fans per game for years. And, you know, shoot, our owner actually bought them, and then Tim McGraw bought them, and then, you know, it kind of settled out. But I didn't really pay close attention to the game itself, you know, because we're just so busy. And then, so I started meeting with this group, and one thing led to another, and I decided, well, you know what, I'm going to help. I mean, Nashville's become my home. My kids are there. I've got grandkids there. I can't ever give Nashville back enough for what it did for me and my family and how blessed we were. And so I wanted to bring something back and bring the Cats back, and so we did, but only to find out that the previous administration wasn't above board, and we started to have problems. So
now, those are the executives of the league that you're talking about.
Previously, they're out.
Yes, they're all out.
They formed this league, and we all, you know, we all drank the Kool-Aid, and so it wasn't there, you know. And so anyway, we got, you know, we just started battling. There were 16 teams to start the season. We ended up finishing with 8. But it's been to your earlier question, it's really been a rewarding experience for me to get to know these owners and watch them work hand in hand together to try to figure out a way to preserve not only the season, but their fan base. You guys were talking about Salina earlier. That's the only game in town. And this is the game where, you know, the dad's got his 4-year-old on his shoulders and he's walking into the game and this family's looking forward to this game and these teams and this game was nearly robbed from them. And so, you know, when they asked me if I would help, I said, sure, that's been my kind of been what I've been into. You know, we talked, I was helping Eddie George for a couple of years and still doing a little bit with Eddie, but, and just helping different programs. And, you know, I tried to help, you know, Charlie and Bill and the Alliance just kind of behind the scenes. And then I helped with the USFL just because of the experience that I have. And so I'm just trying to give back, give it all back to Nashville. And then in the meantime, see if, you know, we can put a team together. And we did, but, no one would have anticipated the difficulties that we experienced. And for me, here we are a couple of days away from, or, you know, tomorrow, you know, 24 hours or 48 hours away from this game, and that, it signifies more than just a championship. It signifies this group of owners that got together, that believe that there's a future in this game, because this game is really cool. I knew nothing about this game when I got into it. And I've had friends that came to their first arena football game and sat there behind the boards in person and said, oh my gosh, this is the most fun I ever had at a football game. I mean, 5 or 6 weeks ago, we had, well, it was Albany. Albany was in the championship game. They're trailing by 11 points with 11 seconds left, and they won the game.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's fun.
Talking to Jeff Fisher, former NFL head coach and the commissioner of the Arena Football League. By the way, you know what also is happening in that area tomorrow night?
Yes. Are you into country music?
Luke Combs concert.
Oh, is it really? Yes. Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
I mean, well, there'll be a lot of people over there, that's for sure. Hey,
gridlock alert? Anybody?
Yeah, but so the concert probably doesn't go off until, what, about 8:30?
Well, I'm sure it's got opening acts and all that stuff.
Exactly.
But yeah.
So this game is at 5:30 tomorrow at the American Dream.
Yeah, go over and watch the game and then go to Luke Combs afterwards. Yeah,
who knows? There may be a lot of people in the mall that day.
Yeah. Of course, it's a Friday.
Have you been over there?
I've not. No, I'm going to do the tour. I got in late last night. I'm going to do the tour today. Looking forward to seeing it.
I mean, it is a pretty unique building. I will say that.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to figure out where they're putting this field. Do you know where? I have no idea.
A good place to start would be on the ground.
Yeah, it'll be on the ground somewhere. Yeah. Hopefully, it's not on the ski slope.
The hockey rink? Is that what you say?
Right. On the hockey rink.
Yeah. On the hockey rink.
Okay. So the field, you know, it's 50. You're talking about 50 yards.
Yeah,
it's a smaller field, and you know, they've already got laid down and boards are in and everything. So you know, the big issue for us, I mean, from a production standpoint, is, you know, could it handle the nets and the goalposts? You know, there's when that ball comes off that net live on a kickoff, it is something to watch.
There's a lot of dough that you guys are putting in, but you're investing a lot into this. There's no question about it.
Yeah, so that's the field there.
Wow, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it does.
It does look pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a smaller field like that, a ton of action. Yeah, I'm afraid to go through other pictures in Peter's phone.
Enough?
God knows what's in there.
Yeah, it'll be high.
So, Peter, it's high enough to be able to withstand the kicking and all that?
It's just the kickoff. I mean, and then, you know, the deuce, but there's no punting in the game.
Right.
You know? So, you're not going to have a Dallas Cowboy deal, you know, where you're hitting.
Actually, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. You're going to watch it. I know. You're going to.
What's on CBS Sports Network, which we're on now.
Jeff, we're on CBS Sports Network now. I will just say this. I will be playing golf.
That's okay.
Somewhere.
Yeah, you should.
Yes, exactly.
Are you hitting it?
Pretty good. But I mean, you know, finally we get some beautiful weather. It's going to it's going to be a little bit relief tomorrow, right? It's going to kind of cool off a little bit more tomorrow. So,
maybe.
Yes.
I talked to Neil O'Donnell yesterday. Yes. He's been playing an awful lot of
golf. How is he doing?
He's doing well.
Yeah, okay, I haven't seen him. Well. Please tell him to call me.
Yeah, we'll do so.
Stuff to be like, he's like missing in action, Neil O'Donnell.
Well, yeah, really?
Yes.
He's playing pretty good, he said.
Yes.
And if he says he's playing good, then he's playing pretty good.
So, you know, he was Steve McNair's backup.
Right,
Jeff.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
How about that? You were part of that Music City miracle, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had a, it was 3 years ago, Buffalo came to Tennessee on a Monday night, and it was the first time they'd come back on a Monday night, so we did some features on it and the story behind it and everything with our special teams coach, and yeah, it was pretty cool to go back through it again. So yeah, yeah, it was one of those deals, huh?
Who did you hate playing more? Bill Cowher or with Brian Billick?
Bill and I were good.
Bill Cowher.
Bill and I were good. I'd say after things kind of, well, it was after we came back in 2000 and lost and shouldn't have. We had best, we were 13-3 at home field, and Trent, I don't think Trent got a first down in the second half, and we blocked two punts, went sideways out of bounds, and Eddie drops the ball off his shoulder, and Ray runs it back for a touchdown, and we got a better team in 2000 than we did in 99. Mm. But Bill broke my ankle when I was playing for the Bears and Philadelphia. So it was always a challenge for me, and I enjoyed playing Bill because Saturday night before the game, I would remind our guys, if you're a little bit out of control and you're going fast on their sideline, you happen to see the head coach, it's okay to fall into his legs.
And by the way, you know, I was just thinking, you know, to get the New York Dragons back on Long Island, get them back in the league, how about you buy them?
Buy
the teams.
Go. Yeah. I'm too old.
You know, what's been interesting is that since I was elected to take over and just get through the season, and you know, we start looking into next year. I've had so many franchises from across the country call with interest in getting in.
Really?
Yeah.
Are there enough players actually?
What's the feeder system right now? I mean, you got. We had the XFL and the USFL, and at one time, you know, before they merged, there was 28 teams. You got eight teams. They've merged to eight teams. Mm-hmm. There's no other opportunity right now for these players. We had three guys signed off our roster to NFL camps. I say we, the Cats did, in weeks 1, 2, and 3. So this is an opportunity for these guys. And there's a lot of guys that, I mean, we know, you all know the names that came through arena. And the other interesting thing you think about is that from a fishing standpoint, this is really attractive from the NFL actually put their arm around the AFL, the Arena Football League, the first time around, the fish aid department, because it trains their eyes, and the guys just, it's extremely valuable for them. I think there's over half of the current referees, the white hats, the referee, the crew chief in the league, in the NFL right now, have had experience in indoor football. And so this can be kind of a breeding, a startup system, you know, with respect to officials, but also for players. So there's just no alternate league right now.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher joins us, commissioner of the Arena Football League. You know, what's the average salary for a player in the Arena Football League now?
I would say somewhere between $999 and maybe $1,001
per game, yeah.
$1,000 a game.
So these kids are playing it because they love to play it, and
absolutely,
they're looking for another opportunity maybe to see if they can get an invite.
Interesting is that, and I'll point out the Albany franchise and the name, I can't
remember
the name. Yeah, I know the Firebirds, but you've got a second generation generational players. Their dads were marquee players in the Albany team, and now you've got sons that are in their 20s, mid-20s, and that are playing in the league. So it's a passion. It's a different world. It really is. I mean, these kids, they love playing, and you know, with the hope that maybe somebody, you know, some scout, you know, will give them an opportunity. But I'd say a majority of them are just doing it because they love to compete. And, you know, it's a great time of the year to be doing it. It's indoors. It's, you know, I mean, yeah, you got to deal with some potential injuries, but, you know, I thought the injury factor would be significantly higher when I got into it than it actually is. I mean, so there's a respect factor too, you know, on that
imagine
field.
So final question for me is basically, how many more teams you think will be a part of the league after this? Like, what's the goal?
I'm not going to take the time to go into the other leagues that are existing right now out there. There's leagues going on right now, but you know, we expect to be the marquee. We expect to be the model league after we get through this game and you know, refocus and gather and surround the wagons and get it all together for 2025. But I'd say we're probably going to come back next year somewhere in that range, potentially 16, 18, maybe 24 teams.
Have you been watching Hard Knocks off season with the Giants at all?
I have not. No.
Okay, I was going to ask you.
I had my own experience.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. What are you? Do you
I loved it. I mean, yeah. I turned it down forever.
Yeah,
and, you know, I turned it down until the league said you can't turn it down. Then I turned it down again. So, but then I agreed to allowing them to come out and capture our move, the St. Louis Rams to L.A. because they had never. Nobody had captured a relocation before, so I had agreed to that. So, and I had a blast with them. I mean, the people in the industry, every last sound, cameraman, producer, these people are great people, and they're passionate people, and I really enjoyed it. But I haven't followed it. What's going on?
Oh, it's interesting. I mean, they're showing stuff I didn't think they'd ever show.
It's all front office stuff now. So it's the off season. So it's Joe Shane's the GM, Brian Daboll, of course, the coach. They're talking about free agency, whether or not they're going to keep Saquon Barkley. Saquon ends up taking a deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Then they're making the trade for Brian Burns from the Carolina Panthers. They're signing Illuminor and Ryan as Runyon as offensive lineman. And you just see like the inner workings.
Combine stuff, guys talking.
We're going to get to the draft eventually where they take Malik Nabers, but there's also the potential that they're trying to trade up, maybe get a quarterback, and they have Daniel Jones as their quarterback, and he's coming back on a $41 million deal. I mean, there's a lot of human interest stuff going on here.
Oh, it's good. I mean, there's nothing better than getting behind the scenes, and that was the approach with them. I mean, Howard saw that for years and years and years. He wanted to get that out. He wanted to share. He wanted to get engaged with the fans. It's cool. I mean,
should do something like that with the AFL. You should put a reality show out there. We
talked about it when the Nashville Cats were a startup team this year. Everybody else existed. But when the Nashville Cats start, which is how I got into this thing, and we didn't have a shoelace or a helmet or a face mask.
Yeah.
So we hit the ground running and then hit the roadblocks that everybody else had, so it was more difficult on us. And had we done that, and I'm not saying we wouldn't do it this year, but there's a lot of interesting stuff that goes on behind the scenes. You guys know that?
I'm sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Jeff, it was great talking to you. Good luck tomorrow. I hope it's a tremendous success and that the lead grows, and it'll be on our network here, CBS Sports Network, 5:30 tomorrow night, the Arena Bowl with Albany and Billings. Jeff, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.